beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
We watched Breaking Bad last night.
Oh my God, no spoilers. No, no, we haven't watched it yet. We TiVo'd it.
We just finished the first season.
That's the best television I've ever seen. The way they do it, and Gus.
No, we haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert, what? Stop.
That's not a giveaway.
We'll talk about it behind your
season
back.
Season one, first of all, you're like, what kind of a show is it? Season two?
Stop.
Hold on a second.
Stop.
I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying, wasn't it cool the way it went down?
So are you guys watching Game of Thrones?
Who isn't?
So who's king? Is it Joffrey?
We just started.
So good.
Are you guys watching Mad Men?
Yeah, nope.
Stop.
Dawn with Meghan or Ben.
I had no idea.
Are you guys thinking of the new season of Dexter?
Michael C. Hall in the van?
Spoiler alert.
Don't spoil it.
True Blood.
Change
so you've seen when Tara turns into
change
a vampire.
Change the subject.
Okay, what about Downton Abbey?
The Christmas special was wonderful.
Oh, shut up.
Homeland.
Stop
so
it.
So Sergeant Brody and Claire Danes hooked up
stop
yet?
Stop it.
Okay, what's something we've all
okay,
seen?
Okay, 6 feet under. We can all talk about
do not
that.
Tell
Michael
me.
C. Hall in the van?
Spoiler alert.
In the
now I don't even have to watch it.
Spacey is Kaiser
Soze. Luke's father is actually Darth
he's
Vader.
What?
She's the sister and the
she's
daughter.
What?
They just kill off Dumbledore.
The character will die eventually, like Christopher on The Sopranos.
Ah!
He's dead? That's not a spoiler.
Only watch the first episode.
Did you guys see Sixth Sense?
He's dead?
Shut up.
Nothing
Seinfeld.
Past season
Golden
two.
Golden Girls?
Nothing past
Boy
season
meets
five.
World?
Nothing past season eight.
Was that before or after Corey marries Topanga?
You're not pissing me off. This is on Wire, right?
I've only watched the first three episodes.
No!
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Please stop.
Don't spoil it.
Listen, we're going to tell you.
I don't even know in advance.
So the two of us are on here. It's really cool.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Contraxo. Are you having unwanted contractions? Wait, I'll get through this. Are you having unwanted contractions? Contraxo can help. We're the leading name in anti-contraction medication. Check us out on the web, contraxo.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a numbing discount. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Contraxo-free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing great. Life? Thank you for asking. Life is good. Life is grand.
Good. You know what I want to say right off the bat?
What?
I am trying to be prepared recently. Like the past couple of weeks, you know, I thought I'm going to get ready early.
Were you a Boy Scout?
I'm going to do what?
Were you a Boy Scout growing up?
No, I was
you know,
not.
That is the Boy Scout motto is be prepared.
Maybe that's the reason that I need to be, you know, that I'm not good at being prepared is because I was never a Boy Scout. But anyway, now everyone has decided to call in like 2 hours before our show on a Sunday afternoon. And I prepared at like noon. And so I go back. I'm like, oh, shit, I better check and just make sure. No, we got like five more phone calls.
So what you're saying is that you were prepared, but they weren't. There's all the last minute callers.
I don't know if someone died or if now I'm going to try to get these in tonight's show.
You know, I noticed
but it's going to be difficult.
You know, you know what? Now suddenly I'm turning into Joe Badance. Oh, wait, you know what? We had three phone calls from Scotty, the little Aussie battler that I don't see on our contact segment there.
Oh, were they in the, oh my God.
They're in email. I would like to apologize to the fine folks at Contraxo for laughing during their ad read there. I apologize.
Our salespeople are going to be on the phone all week trying to save
it's
that
just,
account, Daniel.
It caught me off
I don't
guard.
Know what you're doing.
It could.
Well, it was a new sponsor, you know.
They were. It was, you know, it was a Contraxo. And I think coming up next week, we have Flynn Noodle. Flynn Noodle.
Now, let me tell you, now, just so the audience knows.
Yes.
We really, really, really do not want to have advertisers that we have not thoroughly vetted.
That's right.
So Daniel and I. We spent a lot of time
taking the anti-contraction medication Contraxo. Yeah, we've been high on Contraxo, which explains why our last few shows have sucked.
And I want to tell you that I had nary a contraction during the whole time that I was on Contraxo.
The entire time. It's an amazing product, and you should check them out at Contraxo.com. Anyway, I don't even know where I'm going. So while you're catching up there, you know, I know I did this. I threw a lot of things up on the Trello there, but they're all really small.
So I didn't have much this week. So
I noticed that. So while you're catching up on those things, that's a great name for a podcast, by the way. Catching up with Daniel and Adam. We should
go
do that.
Go copyright that right now. I mean, go grab that domain name or whatever you have to do.
We should do that. You know what? You're going to talk about this, but I'm just saying this new podcast you guys are doing. I've given at least three really good titles, and they've all been poo-pooed. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing, Adam. As you know, I don't like to talk about it on the show because it's I won't say it's too personal, but it's one of those things that it's not just my personal stuff, right? Like I will tell you anything about my personal life, right? I have no shame. But in this particular case, I don't talk about my divorce because that involves someone else, right? It involves Robert, my ex-husband, and he doesn't have the choice. He doesn't have a podcast of his own in order to speak his mind or counter anything that I may say. So I just choose not to talk about it. However, this was finally, after many, many months of back and forth and whatnot, this was the week that I got my divorce paper. So I actually have the actual divorce papers, which is here's the weird thing. If you want to get married, you go down to the courthouse, you pay them $25, you hold up, you both stand there, you hold your hands up, and boom, you're married. It's that easy. It's like there's nothing else is needed, right? You just go, you show up at the courthouse. They, at that point in time, once you've sworn that little oath that they make you hold up your hand and swear and they stamp the little thing and take your money, you're married, right? They give you a form if you want to go have a ceremony, and then, you know, the ceremony is what finalizes it, and you mail that form back. You don't even have to go back to the courthouse, right? You just mail them the form back. It is so incredibly easy to get married. To get divorced is a fucking pain in the ass. There are 19 forms that you have to fill out. You have to have them notarized. You have to, the thing that has taken us the longest is that if we're getting divorced in Connecticut, I actually have to pay for a marshal in Kentucky to go and serve him papers for the divorce. And what we found out through a bunch of, running around in trial and error and stuff is that if he files for divorce in Kentucky, we don't have to go through that step, which was like a $300 step to pay for a marshal to go and serve papers on something that we basically both agree on. We basically both agree here that this marriage has dissolved, and we're not contesting over. There's no property we're contesting over. There's no children that we're contesting over. There is no financial situation here. It's really just, we just want to dissolve this marriage and have it done. It is such a pain in the ass. So I finally got the paperwork this week. It came in the mail. And all I had to do was to go get it notarized. And thus begins the most annoying day and a half of my entire life ever. I'm not even being hyperbolic about it. It's just so damn annoying. We have not one, not two. We have three notaries at work.
I was going to say, all businesses, there is some woman,
right,
Janice,
right.
We'll
yeah,
say
exactly.
Janice,
right.
You know, Janice in accounting,
right.
Or whatever,
yeah.
That always has,
yep,
a notary, whatever, right. It's called. She did some course where she is now a notary public.
I almost feel like after this, let me finish my story here, but I almost feel like if I wanted to be a dick, I would just go pay the $25 to be a notary just so I could be a dick to people, just because that seems to be the fun thing to do. So there's three notaries at work. And two of them are on vacation, and one of them works for HR. And the HR department that she works for is in my office, or is in my building. So I went down to the first floor, and I asked to see her, and she basically kept, and they're like, how did you know our office was here? And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And it's like, they told me upstairs to come, oh, because we're moving to this office, and we don't want people to know where our office is, so in case people walk in. Just, aren't you human resources? Isn't that like in your fucking title, human resource? Anyway, aside from that, she comes over and she's like, okay, I'm, what do you need notarized? And I'm like, well, they're my divorce papers and everything. Oh, this isn't work related? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I can't. I can't help you. I'm like, really? Can I pay you $5 after hours or something? It's just, there's three sheets of paper here that just need your signature on them. It's like, no, I'm sorry. If it's not work related, yeah, I can't help. But you know, there's a bank in the hospital that you could go to, and they have a notary there, right? So I walked.
Okay.
The hospital is like four blocks away. I walk down to the hospital. I get down there. I find the bank. Do you have a notary? Yes, we have a notary. Just have a seat right here, and Janice will be out to see you. I don't know that that's her name, because I sat there for 25 minutes. After sitting there for 25 minutes, finishing listening to a podcast even, I finally was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to sit here all day long, right? I mean, I just basically just walked away from my desk to start this, and we're now going on an hour here. I'm leaving. So I left. Could not find any other notary anywhere to be found. So then I'm talking to my friend Bill that I went to lunch with. He's like, you know what? You can go to City Hall, because I work downtown. You can go to City Hall, and there's also the federal courthouse right downtown. They have notaries. I'm like, excellent. I will go to City Hall. So I go down to City Hall.
By this point, you're like, fuck it. We're staying married. You know what? Move back in. Move back in.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. I'm being interrupted by the death phone, which you say never happens. But let's listen to it. Hello.
Hello. This is Gary in Albuquerque.
Oh, hi, Gary.
A first-time Death Slippery phone caller. I want to report the death of Bevo 14, who was the University of Texas Longhorn mascot. He died of cancer today. Thank you for calling.
Well, it's not funny that he died of cancer.
It's not funny, but Gary from Albuquerque, thank you so much for being a first-time caller on the Celebrity Death Phone. We absolutely do appreciate that. But I believe that we set a rule a while back that it couldn't be animals, didn't we?
Is that an animal?
He said the Texas
Longhorns. I thought it was a guy who played the mascot of the... I don't know.
No, I think
Are you sure?
I think Bevo is an actual...
Is it a bovine? Is it a cow? Is that what it... Died of... See, I think the died of cancer threw me because I know animals die of cancer.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He is definitely a longhorn cow.
I don't think that's a... I really don't think that's a celebrity.
By the way, he was Bevo the 14th, so there's been 13 other Bevos before him.
If Lassie died, you know, that would probably.
Oh, but this
count.
Is Gary. This is Gary's very first time.
Well, okay. You know what? Rules are meant to be broken. So we'll just give it to him.
Congratulations, Gary from Albuquerque. We do appreciate that. And congratulations. You re-entered into the contest. Excellent. All right. So when we last left our intrepid divorcee, I was in City Hall. So I go to City Hall. There's supposed to be, according to the website, there's supposed to be a help desk on the first level that has a notary services, and they charge some notary fee, whatever. So I get there to the City Hall, and I start looking around, and the security guard comes over. He says, "Can I help you?" "Yes, I would like to find a notary." "Oh, there is one in the probate court. So what you need to do is you need to go down this hallway, go out the back doors, and then go to follow the walkway to your left, and that will take you to our back building. Enter into the back building there, and the probate court is on the first floor there, and they have a notary." So, excellent. Thank you very much, sir. I walk all the way through the courthouse. I mean, through the City Hall, walk out the back, walk down the hallway, enter into the back room, the back building there. And, of course, there's a security guard there who's sitting at an information desk. I say, "Notary? Is it a notary public?" "Second floor, Hall of Records, room 202. Excellent. Thank you very much. I take the elevator up. I find room 202, Hall of Records. I walk in there. Pleasant enough lady says, "Can I help you?" "Yes, ma'am. I am trying to find a notary public." "Oh, one moment." "Oh, she's not at her desk. But she should be back. She's here. She should be back. It shouldn't be more than, a few minutes and everything." I'm like, "Excellent. I'll just wait."
All right, so I'm on my 25th podcast today looking for a notary, but I think maybe it's like the Magic Castle. You know, the notaries, they have this bookcase where you have to walk up to it and say the magic
words
before you can actually go in and get something notarized.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe.
So I'm there. I'm waiting. And 5 minutes go by. 10 minutes go by. And then the woman who had been helping, who was helping other people, looks at me and says, "Oh, you know what? I didn't think about it. I just thought about it now, but there is another notary downstairs in the probate court back on the first floor. So you might want to try down there." So I leave room 202, go back downstairs to the first floor, and I ask the guy at the office, where's the probate court? "Oh, he's down that hallway, last door on the left." So I go down that hallway, last door on the left. I come up to the window, because there's like a bulletproof glass window there that you have to talk to the people through, and I'm like, "Yes, I'm trying to find a notary public." And it's like, I'm having to shout because they can't hear me, whatever. She's like, "Oh, hold on." And walks back, comes back and says, "She's not at her desk."
It's National Notary Public Vacation Day, or, you know, I don't know. It's like,
so then she says to me, she's not at her desk right now, but you know what? Upstairs in the Hall of Records, I'm like, yes, room 202. I've actually been waiting up there for 10 minutes because that notary is not at her desk either. And this is becoming really crazy. And though she looks at me, she's a sweet old lady. She looks at me and she says, all right, what you need to do, go up to the fifth floor. And when you get up to the fifth floor, you want to take the hallway all the way down. You're going to go all the way down to the end of the hallway. There's a door that goes to the left. You want to take that left and then jog back to your right. That's the engineering department. And you want to find Bernice. She's my cousin. She's a notary. So now I'm supposed to go up to the fifth floor.
I would be like, could you call her and verify that she's at her desk?
To find some lady's cousin, Bernice, who is a notary. So I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm going to go. So I figured I passed the second floor anyway. I might as well go and see if the lady has come back on the second floor. So I get there to the second floor. And she said, oh, yeah, she came in right after you left. Hold on just a second. And then she went. She's not at her desk, but she should be right back. So I wait for just a few minutes, and I'm just like, god damn it, this is like so. And so finally this really big lady walks in and is like, can I help you? And I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for the notary. What you got? I'm like, my divorce papers. She's like, no, I mean, what do you, let me see them. And she's like, oh, are you the you're the notary? So I pull the papers out, and I show her, like, there's these three places that you have to, you know, sign everything. She's like, oh, it's like $5 a signature. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. I really don't care. It's just like, she didn't want to be bothered with signing. It's like, dear God, it's just signing your name, looking at my driver's license, looking at me and going, okay, yes, that's you. I see you sign this here. I'll just, it's like, how hard is this? So it's like, so it was going to be $15 for the thing. And I don't know if she was a lesbian or in some other way family, but after she had looked through the papers to sign them and realized that it was two guys getting divorced, at the end, when she went to take my money, she's like, I'm only going to charge you $10. So I was like,
well,
great.
There you go.
There you go. So I finally have gotten my divorce papers were signed and notarized. They have been mailed back to Kentucky. So God knows what's going to happen next, but don't try to find a notary in New Haven. It's not possible.
So now are you a single man now, or what
other
processes?
Oh God, no. Like I told you, getting married is so easy. It was an afternoon and it was done, right? It was like, it wasn't even an afternoon. It was like a half hour and it was done. This is step one of a multi-part process, because now these papers, the original papers, which have been notarized, right, go back to Robert, and then he like has his own notary sign and notarize them, and he signs them and gets them notarized. Those get filed with the court, and then there's a mandatory 60-day waiting period, by which point both of us have the ability to write in and, you know, contest things, right? So there's a 60-day period where we can contest things. And during that 60-day period, nothing can change. So if he was on my health insurance, he couldn't be removed from my health insurance. If we had any joint accounts, we couldn't change any of that stuff. Like I'm forbidden. You know, like I can't sell my car within the next 60 days because both of our names are on it. You know what I'm saying? There's this whole 60-day waiting period. And then at the end of that 60-day waiting period, then we have more papers that we have to file in front of a judge. And then a judge, we actually, like, I think Robert actually has to go in front of a judge and have it dismissed. So it's like the whole thing of getting divorced is so much more of a pain in the ass than getting married ever possibly was. And I know I'm saying this on the day of Tim and James's wedding. So I know that it happened earlier this evening that Tim and James from Tastes Like Burning.
Guys, if you
married.
Haven't done it yet, wait.
Don't
think
do,
about it
don't
because
do
the
it.
Divorce.
Here's my advice. Here's my advice. If you want to get divorced, just kill him. I'm sure a murder trial is less time consuming. Than the process of going through a divorce.
But don't call the celebrity death phone after you kill one of whoever kills the other one, because that is against the rules. You cannot do that.
You will not get that. You will get a if you do that. That's all I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
You know what, Adam? I have been so remiss here. It is 9:30 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing, that we are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Adam, who is joining us here this evening?
We have someone by the name of CACP Mark, which it can't be. Anyway, it can't be that person. We have IC Greg, Mags, Minion 51, OK Parker, RT Cruza, who said he's leaving now.
Aww.
Toppy Smelly, TT Knitters, Auntie Vera Charles,
Yes.
FL Mac, Mags, and we have a MIB.
Excellent. Well,
down at the bottom.
Welcome to each and every one of you, or in the case of RT Cruiser, goodbye. We do appreciate all of you for being here. I'm sorry for nattering on there for a moment. Now, I expected to see the Celebrity Death Phone Trello thing swell, but I guess we did not have any phone calls for that.
For what? Say, I was reading the chat room. Say that again.
Did we not have any more Death phone calls? Because I didn't see you didn't add any.
I'm not done listening to those because I was trying to also listen to your story at the same time.
Oh, so I didn't want you to listen to my story. That's fine.
So I, as we go throughout the show, I'll try to listen to one or two here or there. The only one I've been able to listen to is that first one that I put in the
What? I will take care of the ones that came in through the email. I'll do those right now. So, Adam, why don't you tell us about your new exciting endeavor that you and a friend of the show, Joe Batance, are doing?
Okay, that's not the first one on there, but wow, my chair is really creaky.
Adam, why don't you talk about whatever the fuck it is you want to talk about?
We'll do them out of order. It's fine. So Joe Batance came to me. It's been a long time. Joe is slowly trying to develop, show concepts with every other person on Pride 48. So he has a show with you.
Yes.
You guys do that drag race recap show.
RuPaul's Drag Race recap, yes.
Yeah, and he does a show with Mike Lawson, who used to be part of Pride 48.
I'm unfamiliar with that one. What is that?
And he, and so he asked me, I don't know, maybe like a year ago, we should really do a show together because he's really amused by my liking ventriloquism. Is really what it boils down to. I mean, just the fact that I'm Southern and I used to have a ventriloquist dummy. Those two things he thinks are just hysterical, and he wants to do a podcast with me.
Yes.
But I've been putting him off because...
See, now I see Greg in the chat room. I mean, that was the very first suggestion for my title for their show. It was called He's No Dummy.
Right.
With Joe and Adam.
But there are a couple of things. I'm not good with coming up with concepts for shows, and I'm not good with coming up with names, and I'm not all that stuff. I mean, my very first show was the Adam and Maddie show. I mean, that was it. Really, really catchy name there. Anyway, so I was kind of waiting on him to come up with a concept and a name and all that kind of stuff and whatever. And then he said, "Hey, I have this friend, Shannon, who is my writing partner. She's really funny, and I think we should do a show with her."
Originally that was going to be a Dateline recap show, which I cleverly suggested the title Dateline, which I was very
yeah. Clever. And I thought that would be good because here's the thing: if we did something that people would be searching for already, then they just stumble upon our show, then I think that would be a good way to get a lot of listeners. So if you have like Dateline in the title, I think some people would actually be searching for the Dateline podcast, but stumble upon ours.
Right.
But then it was decided that was going to narrow our scope too much.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's a show where we read a news story or two and then we just comment on them, but also talk about our lives and just kind of riff on the news story. So it's
which by the way was my third suggestion, the show where we read the news and we riff about our lives and also comment on the news story.
Right. So it's not really a news show, but the news part is just to have a, something to kind of play off of or whatever.
Right.
So, but they didn't want it. They decided, Dateline's going to be too cloying. Is that a good word for that? Too restrictive.
Cloying is not the right word. I think the word you're looking for is, what was the word that you couldn't remember?
Well, I said restrictive.
No, what was the old time word? Oh, I'm trying to do a callback to a long time ago.
Iconoclastic?
Yes, it was very iconoclastic, yes.
Yeah, that was too iconoclastic, so we couldn't do that one. So anyway, we're going to do just random news stories, wherever they come from, whatever. And we did a test show.
The random news.
Yeah, something like that. We still can't come up with a name.
Today, in L.A., Contraxo Incorporated released their new... anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I'm going back to saying anyway a lot. I need to stop that. Anyway. But we...
Irregardless.
So we did our test show, and I think it went okay. I think the chemistry between the three of us was good. There were a lot of good things. There were some audio issues that really bugged me. And I was nervous because I was kind of the audio engineer for this thing.
Now,
and,
you know, now I have heard the show.
Yes, I have not.
I have heard the show. I've heard the test show.
Yes.
I believe the phrase that I used was Shannon is like a basket of mid-range dripping treble, which I was quite proud of.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Shannon is lovely. She is a lovely individual.
It was just the EQ and on it. She must have been using a USB mic or something that was, it was very...
It's a USB microphone. Yeah, Joe didn't ask her, go out and buy a mixer and, you know, set up a studio with soundproofing and all this kind of stuff. So when we first started, both of us said, hey, Shannon, get up into the mic because, you know, we need you to be, you know, loud. We need you to be, or not loud, but I mean, she was, when we first started talking over Hangouts or whatever, she was kind of far away from the mic. And so, you know, she was kind of sounding a little bit.
Oh, like Taylor, like so Taylor Lawton.
Right. Yeah. So we said, get up into the mic. But then when we actually started recording the episode, she got excited and she got louder. So what happened was it ended up distorting quite a bit. And I didn't want to be a dick and say, could you now back up a little bit from the microphone or do something, you know? And there was nothing I could do with the volume because it wasn't a volume thing. It was a...
Hold on. I have to address this. Chat room, Toppy Smelly in chat room says that did Brewer just diss USB mics? No, I'm not dissing USB mics. However, there's so many, that is a huge range of products, right? When you say USB mics, you're talking everything from the little tiny stick mic that's a little USB all the way up to a really nice USB mic. So what I was trying to say was it sounded as though she was using like a really cheap, like little, you know, like the lower end USB mics, like the one that you would pick up at Best Buy for $19, do not have much more than just mid-range in them. They're basically glorified telephones, basically.
And look, I'll admit, I know how to run a mixer. I know how to do mix minus and stuff. But I'm not really so much of an audiophile that I notice highs and lows and EQing and all that kind of stuff. Like you twiddle some knobs on my mixer every year at Pride 48, and I just leave them twiddled. So whatever you have twiddled, you know, I leave it that way. I know how to set the wires up. I know how to, you know, for the most part, do stuff like that. But anyway, so he's going to release it on the Catching Up feed.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who's interested, you can hear it over there. We still don't have a name, you know, so there you go. But we'll see. I think it'll go well. I think it'll go good. Well, where there's a little concern about, because Shannon's not really into podcasting as much as Joe and I are.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if she, you know, stays with it.
Oh, so you're thinking that she won't stick around. So you barely know her, and you're just basically calling her unreliable. You've gauntlet dropped. You're just like, you know what? I don't think Shannon's going to be here. I think it's basically going to be Joe and me a year from now. It'll be just Joe and me. Nope, no Shannon.
No, Joe has already made the comments that we need to really handle Shannon with kid gloves. Because she's not as into podcasting, and if it's too much of a hassle for her, too stressful, that she could just be like, I'm out, you know? So we have to really, you know, kind of watch what we say.
I don't get that. I really don't get that. I don't understand that. I mean, I understand, like, you and I understand that, right? You and I had this thing, this really complicated process of recording, like, you know, for at least 2 years. We did this really complicated thing where you recorded locally and I recorded locally, and then we Dropboxed back and forth these huge WAV files that then had to get married together, and then they had to be synced up, and then after they were synced up and levelated and everything, then we had to do, and it was a lot of work. It's a big pain in the ass. But in this case, you're talking about, you know, she's basically the Taffy Carlisle Huffington of this show, right? All she has to do is just show up and talk. And she doesn't have to worry about editing. She doesn't have to worry about mixing. She doesn't have to worry about posting, whatever. It's like, that's like saying, oh, I don't have time to sit down for, you know, 45 minutes and talk to people about a news story. It's just like, you know, whatever. It's like,
I don't think she's made those comments. I don't want to besmirch her name. I'm just saying.
Too late. You already have.
There are people.
The quote will read, I think Shannon is a flake, Adam Burns.
No, I didn't say that. In fact, I didn't say anything of that nature at all.
You did too. All right. So how are we doing on the phone calls there, Adam? Because I don't...
I've been talking the whole time.
Can you multitask?
I was listening to a phone call through one ear, you know, and then talking, you know, and then through the other ear, I was listening to what you were saying. No.
All right, go ahead. Go back to what you're doing. So here's the thing. You know, I mentioned it on the last show, I believe, that I'm thinking about going to Europe. And I'm thinking about going to Europe with my friend Bill. because he and I, and I mentioned this on the after show, so for those of you who heard this, the podcasting audience has not. Bill and I both work for Yale in one capacity or another. I work for the hospital. Joe works. I'm getting texted by Joe Vitant, so I said Joe. Bill works for Yale University. Anyway, the two organizations work closely with one another, and we actually have about the same amount of vacation time, which is about 7 weeks of vacation time a year, which is excellent, which is wonderful. But he's one of the only people I know that could just take 2 weeks to go and do something that wouldn't completely blow their entire, you know, vacation plans for the year. So as I was, I tossed this out during the after show on DI Plus. By the way, for those of you who don't know, those of you who just listen to the podcast, we record it live every Sunday. And then after we're done recording, we just keep streaming. We keep streaming and chit chat with folks while we're editing and stuff. It's great. It's fun. You should be there. But so I mentioned during the after show about going to Europe, and Joe Batance said, no, I want in on this. Now, Joe Batance, lives the life of a suburban housewife. So he obviously could take 2 weeks off to go. So I think at this point in time, I think it's going to be Bill and Joe Batance and myself heading to Europe sometime in August, going to go to London, Disneyland. I'm not going to Paris. I'm just going to go to Disneyland. I was told I could take a train directly to Disneyland and I wouldn't actually have to set foot in Paris. So I'm going to London, Disneyland, and Amsterdam. Those are
so you're determined the only soil you're going to step foot on in France
will be Disneyland.
It will be Disney. That's it. That's like it's like an embassy of the Disney embassy. You know, when you're on Disney soil, you're not actually on French soil at all. You're on Disney soil.
That's right. That is true because it's Disney. So there's the three places that I want to go to. Now, Bill was trying to get me to go to France and like, yeah, you go to France and see this. I'm like, you know, give me one good reason why I would go to France, you know, other than cheese, right? And he's just like, well, you know, they have bathhouses. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll stay in France for a day. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know yet. But this is the early planning stages of this. So we haven't like bought tickets yet or anything like that. But it sounds like I know I'm definitely going to go. I'm definitely going to go to Europe this year. Not this year. Next. I mean, 2016. So I think that's probably going to do it. You know, friend of the show just comes in from the secret group. Adam, did you know that there's a secret group?
I don't know about any secret group.
There's a secret group.
I don't think there's a secret group. I think there's a group.
No, this comes in from the secret group. It says, Adam Burns really knows how to sell a show. Listen to my new show. It's fine. The co-host will probably leave and the sound sucks, but you should listen to it anyway. I tell you, you are a marketing machine.
No, it's going to be great. It is going to be. My goal was not to sell the show. I'm not marketing the show. I'm just telling my life. This is the life section.
All right, hold on a second. Let's find out who this is. Yeah, hello.
Hi, I'm calling for this celebrity death line. This is Arce Martinez calling. I'm calling about the Texas mascot, Bevo.
Oh, yeah.
Bevo, yeah. The 14th. He died in his sleep last night.
He did. Long battle with cancer.
So hopefully that works. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, RC. We do appreciate it. As you heard, not Joey. Who am I trying to say? Gary. Gary beat you to it. So these are all losers that I'm playing right now.
That one was a loser. That's why I put it in the loser section.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that hole. It's like, okay, now I see more. All right, good. We're good. So you should go absolutely go and check out Adam's new podcast, which is going to be theoretically posted over at Catching Up.
I said we have a really good chemistry. And as you know, Joe is a comedian of sorts and Shannon is also a comedian of sorts. It's going to be great.
Excellent. So, Adam, tell me about this car incident that you were in.
Oh, would you like to know about the car? So, okay. First of all, don't everyone shoot me all at once because I like Chick-fil-A. I don't know if anyone else has ever heard that before, but I am a fan of Chick-fil-A. I realize that the owner does not like homosexuals. I realize that, but I'm a fan of chicken minis. Can't help it. I just do.
YouTube, like, what's going on, man? A little bit of different introduction this time. We're still going to take inside.
Oh, I thought that was an official one. Sorry. Go ahead.
And so, occasionally, on the way to work, I will stop at Chick-fil-A to get some chicken minis and some hash browns for my breakfast. And the other morning, I decided to do that. So I pull up, and there's always a long line because this Chick-fil-A is very popular around here. And I get in line, and I order, and then I pull up, and I'm just waiting on my order. But I'm listening to a podcast, and I'm not paying a lot of attention. I'm sitting there. There are a couple of cars in front of me. And then
what podcast were you listening to? Listening to It's All About Me with Mark and Ed?
I might have been listening to Big Fatty because normally I listen to him on the way to work.
Was it the first of the month? Because you'd always listen to Big Fatty on the first of the month. You start off every month correctly by listening to Big Fatty on the first of the month.
Well,
sorry, I popped a beer right there. Listen to Big Fatty. Have a cold one.
So anyway, I was in line, but I was listening to a podcast. I was doing some other things, minding my own business, and then SUV in front of me decides that they need to back up.
Yes.
And I wasn't paying. I was sitting there minding my own business. Like, I was not moving. I was in park. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing anything. And this SUV starts backing up. And I think I've used this to describe other incidents before. But have you seen the Austin Powers movie where he's like in front of this big roller?
It's a steamroller. Yes.
Steamroller thing. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps going, no. And then it goes back to the steamroller and then back to him. No. You know that?
Right.
That's kind of what I felt like, because for some reason, my brain would not react fast enough. They weren't backing very fast. They were backing slowly, and I needed to either back up or honk. But I couldn't.
But you couldn't decide between the two.
I was frozen.
You could do both at the same time. I don't want to. You know, I don't want to get too technical here. But automotive systems, the horn is not actually tied to the accelerator, so you could actually honk and reverse at the same time.
I don't know the reason, but my brain froze. I don't know if I couldn't decide what to do or if I just was incredulous. I thought there's no way she's going to back.
Your brain stopped working because Chick-fil-A has that like field around it makes people stupid. That's why there's people, I love that Chick-fil-A. It's because they got a pickle on it. That's what makes it good.
So about the time that I do, my brain unsticks.
Wait, is it happening right now? Is this happening right now?
I start to honk. I honk and she makes contact with my car right as I'm honking.
Did you hop out and then hold your back neck on?
No,
whiplash.
No, I didn't. I did hop out, however, and she goes, and she gets out and she goes, did I hit you?
No.
I'm like, yeah, you hit me. You know, no, I'm just kidding. Yes, you hit me. That's why I honked. Hello. So I get out and I don't like to be mean to people. I don't like confrontation. You know, I don't like any of that stuff.
It's fine. I'll just take Let me just pick my bumper off the ground. You know what? I can put it back on with some wire later. It'll be fine. It's fine.
No. So I look at the bumper. And now, again, she was going very slow and barely backed into me. It didn't even move my car, really. I mean, just I felt a little bit of a bump. But
your six cars was this?
No, this was my, I only have one car now. It's the 370Z. It's the one that I just bought recently.
Okay.
And I didn't see any damage. So I said, don't worry about it. No big deal. You know, don't worry.
Just, I feel like you could literally, clips of this could be used in one of those ambulance chaser, or, you know, she backed into me and I didn't see any damage. Have you been injured in an accident? Even if you don't know, you should call Joe Batanz, attorney.
I did not see any damage. So I didn't get her insurance information. I didn't get her name. I didn't take a photo of her license plate or anything. I didn't do anything.
But Joe Batanz's private investigators were able to track her down and to get Mr. Burns the money he deserved. You should call Joe Batanz attorney law today.
And here's the thing. I used to be a claims adjuster. I don't know why I'm so stupid. Like I used to be. Anyway, so that afternoon, because in the morning it's a little bit gray, you know, the sun's just coming out, you know, it's not fully bright outside. So when I'm leaving work, it's real, really sunny, a really bright afternoon, and I go out, and I don't know if you've ever seen, there is no or anything on the car. So
Skyped out right. We don't know what the word. What was the noun? What is there none of on your car?
Dent.
Dent. Okay, good. I did not get. Who had dent in the pool? Anyone?
I walk out. And
I had spit. I was down for spit. I was just. I don't know why.
Have you ever seen a paint job kind of crack
On a drag queen?
Like on a car. So it looks like a spider web of cracks in the paint on the front bumper.
So like the clear coating on top of it, which is kind of like polyurethane or whatever, like cracks. And
maybe.
That's the thing that keeps the paint from, you know, dulling or whatever.
Whatever. There are all these cracks in the paint. And it's to me, it's a brand new car. I just got it.
Oh, my God. So now your car is broken.
My car is broken. And
this, Adam, is why you never, ever, ever go to Chick-fil-A. Hold that thought 1 second. Let's just get to this really quick. Hopefully it's not about a cow. Hello.
Yeah, hi, guys. Archie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Actor Andrew Rubin. He was in the Police Academy movies. Dead at 69. Bye.
All right. Andrew Rubin, what part did he play in the Police Academy movies?
I don't know that person. I don't know. I didn't have time to Google. I was just listening. So you'll have to Google him. Google him.
I am. I'm Googling him right now. I don't remember him from the Police Academy movies, but it says that he's a Police Academy. He was like a bit actor in the Police Academy. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Congratulations, RT Cruiser. You were entered into the contest.
And, you know, Mark is telling me.
Oh, Mark,
well, first of
Mark
all,
must be incensed. He must be mad.
He was really irritated. He's like, why didn't you get her information? Like, what are you doing?
Did you even like write down her tag or anything?
No, nothing.
Have you contacted Chick-fil-A? Because they have video of the drive-thru. It's like, can you say, look, on the morning of blah, 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 I need to know the tag number of this car. Because it turns out she hit me. Look, it's on tape. You have tape. You have you actually have security footage of this happening. All you have to do is just call the restaurant to get it.
Well, I need to call Chick-fil-A.
Quickly, because they don't keep those things for longer than a week.
That's what Mark was saying. He's like, why haven't you called them yet? What are you doing? Like, anyway, somebody told me, somebody I play in the orchestra with said, you need to file a police report and try to get Chick-fil-A to give you their footage. But when I went to a different Chick-fil-A another day, later in the week, I didn't see any cameras on the exterior.
No, regardless, file a police report. You were hit by another car. It's just like at least then your insurance company knows that it was investigated.
Yeah, they won't do anything. But yes, I understand. I need to
do
all that.
What kind of insurance do you have?
I have State Farm.
We are farmers.
It's
like a good neighbor. State Farm is there, and then they show up, right? And they pop. Why didn't you do that? You should have gotten out of the car.
I didn't.
You should have sang like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. Blah, blah, blah. All right.
Yeah.
Are we done with the phone calls,
by
the way?
Are we done with the phone calls? Oh, yes, I'm done with the phone calls. That's
I don't
it.
Remember what Scotty's were saying. I just got to listen to this real quick. Hold on.
G'day. This is RT Cruiser, and I've got a technology question.
No, wrong segment. All right, that's the technology one. All right, cool. And I think the other two we can play during the contact, so we're good. So
being recorded? Because I heard it.
Yeah, that was being recorded.
Oh, okay. You're just like doing show prep on
the
show.
I am.
Like,
and here's the thing. All right, so I read this thing this past week. So two things I want to say really quickly, and then we'll be done with this. I shouldn't read the chat. I read this thing online, and I don't remember who said it. So my apologies if you said this and I didn't remember who you were. I think it was on Facebook or on Google Plus, somewhere I saw someone say, you know what, for the first time in 50 years, I really didn't like Doctor Who and blah, blah, blah. And it's always followed, because I've seen this for a lot of really diehard Doctor Who fans that recently have been talking about how much they don't like Doctor Who, but they immediately following it up by going like, well, the writers blood this and the writers of that. So I have decided to coin a term, Adam. I am calling them capologists. You are a capologist if you were just unable to admit that Peter Capaldi fucking sucks as the Doctor. It's like, has nothing to do with the writers, has nothing to do with the directors, has nothing to do with the scripts have never been that good under
Now, you know, I don't watch this show.
It doesn't matter. It's just like, I am so sick of the capologist out there just basically going, they're doing verbal contortions to basically make Peter Capaldi blameless for Doctor Who sucking so badly. He has stinking up the joint. He needs to go away. Can we please just admit that Peter Capaldi sucks at his job as playing Doctor Who?
I agree with you.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you. All right. The other thing that I want to talk about is I have now, Adam, gotten onto the bandwagon. I don't know if you've done this in your house or not, but I finally the other day.
I don't know.
I have decided that if there is anything lit in my house, that it will be LED. So I have now switched out every single bulb in my apartment. All the three-way lamps.
No, I hate LED.
Three-way lamps. I haven't said it yet. You're reading it. All the three-way lamps have been switched. All of the standard lamps have been. The studio lighting has been switched. Everything in my house, except for the bathroom vanity, just because for whatever reason, has been switched now to LED. Every single light in my house is now LED. So, and that like 2-3 watt LED supposedly cost $1.60 a year to run. So if, even if I left every light in this house on for an entire year, it should cost like $8 or something. I don't know. So we'll see if my electric bill drops down at all, because I have lots of lights, but they are now, here's the thing, for me to save $100 a year, I've basically spent about $300 in bulbs. But I spent $300 in bulbs that are going to last for 20 years and take no electricity.
You should have gotten those Hue lights, or the, you know, all those smart lights. They're all LED, but they're all home automation enabled. Right.
I leave the light on in the living room for the cats, because by the time I come home in the afternoon at this time of year, it's dark. Because I get home about 7 in the evening and it's dark. And of course, as we're moving into winter with the time change and stuff, it's going to get dark up here about like 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon. So I basically, that way there's a light in the living room that's on for them. Any other lights that I may leave on, they're all LED now. They're all LED lights. There we go, Adam. I've completely switched
over.
Well,
I think you're being very eco-friendly.
I can put my hand on this studio light right here, and it does not hurt me at all. It's been on
so even the studio time. Lights that I bought you, you switched out the bulbs in those to LEDs.
No. So studio lighting wise, I have 2 lights that face back behind my monitors, so they're facing, you know, to create an ambient light back this way.
Okay.
Those are the 2 that I switched out. They're just like, those are the clip-on, you know, like they're spotlights, but they just clip onto the table. You know what I'm saying? They have a gooseneck on them. They're the really cheap, like little, you know, gooseneck spotlight things that you buy at Walmart, like a table lamp, you know, that has a clip on it, right? So those 2 face back over. The 2 studio lights that you bought me are on tripods, and they face directly at me. And those I have not swapped out. So there is 1 up there that is not swapped out. But that light is never on except when I'm recording. So that, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about lights that I may leave on.
Yeah, we're not, and we're not doing video, so no one ever benefits from the lovely.
How dare
like,
you benefit lovely. From it?
Well, that's true.
You benefit.
I mean,
from
I do.
It.
I do like you to be as attractive as possible when I'm recording with you, because otherwise, you know, I like that. What I really want, though, if I ever do video again that people can see, mm-hmm. is I know they have an effect that will like make everything softer.
Yeah.
You know,
it's called
and
Vaseline.
I want that effect like live, huh?
It's called Vaseline.
Well, I don't think it's really Vaseline. I think there's some filter you can apply.
It's called and getting they, older. Like, if you get older, things all get blurry on you. That's what I know. That's what it is. Hey, let's get to this real quick. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Fan. Hoping to beat Mark and Eddie on this one. Bruce Hyde, actor, played Lieutenant Kevin Riley on 2 episodes of the original Star Trek series.
Aww.
Dead. 74. Bye.
All right. Well, first of all, second of all, Mark and Ed never call into our show. I don't think they listen to our show.
I don't think they listen to our show.
They don't. They don't listen to our show anymore. Even the one time they were like, oh, we're going to see you in the chat room when they were talking to Andy Bear
Charles. I listen to their show religiously.
You do not.
Religiously.
You do not. I do. I listen to them, but you don't, which is fine. Because they've like, offended somebody for you.
Like 5 minutes after it comes out, I am listening to it. That's all I've got to say.
Great. All right. I think we're done. I think we're done, and I think we're ready to do this.
Yep. Good night, everyone.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it.
DA Plus Technology segment brought to you by It's All About Me. Check them out. It's All About Me. Podcast.com, I think. I'm not really sure. All right. So let's get to our very first. If I play them in the order that they came, I don't know when this toppy smelly phone call came in.
Oh, I can tell you when it came in.
That's right. Let's just play.
It came in today.
Oh, then Scotty's came in first. So let's play Scotty's first. RT Cruiser's first. Here's our first technology question.
G'day. This is RT Cruiser, and I've got a technology question. Now, as you know, I've been traveling quite a bit lately for work.
I did not know that.
Can you believe it? On the government's dime. So all those boring hours sitting in a plane with nothing to do. Should I buy a Surface Pro or should I buy an iPad? That is my question. This is RT Cruiser calling from Australia. Bye.
I'm going to guess, based off your breathing pattern there, that you're going to be using these for porn. Because it sounded like he was masturbating when he was calling.
Now, first of all, that, That is not RT Cruiser. Let's just say, right?
What? That is, are you accusing our listeners of like being deceitful? No, that was RT Cruiser.
Apparently, that's a thing.
He sounds Australian. Sounds Australian to me, so I'm going to say it's RT Cruiser. So
remember, we used to have a caller that always sounded like he was masturbating. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he was Scotty Little Odyssey Valor. He quit calling. Here's the thing. If you were American, this would be so easy to answer. Because if you were American, the easy and obvious answer is to get an Android tablet because of Amazon Prime, right? But
I was going to say one of those Fire tablets that are so cheap right now.
Oh, no. But it used to be, yes, you would have to get the Fire tablet to do what I was about to say. But they've now made it so any Android tablet can do this as long as you have the Amazon app. So the Amazon app on Android will actually let you pin movies and TV shows that you can get through Amazon Prime. And that's really what you care about when you're traveling on a plane, is you want content on your tablet that you don't have to stream, right? Because you don't want to pay the $20 or whatever for the day's worth of Wi-Fi on a plane. And FYI, that Wi-Fi is not strong enough or good enough for you to actually stream anything from Netflix. So what you really want is you want content on your tablet while you're on the plane. You want stuff that's like pinned to your tablet that you can just hit. You don't need a Wi-Fi connection at all. So when you're, if you're American, I would say Amazon Prime and an Android tablet is the way to go because of that particular thing right there. If Netflix had a way for you to pin content to your tablet, then that would be amazing. But we're not there yet. So now what we're really left with is your two choices were the Surface Pro and the iPad. And the answer here is it really depends on where you buy where you rent your movies. If you rent your movies through iTunes, if you're someone who lives in the Apple ecosystem where you use iTunes to rent movies or TV shows, or you have some kind of video podcast or things like that on your tablet that you can download to your tablet, to your iPad, then that's the way you want to go. If you're an Apple person and you have your content in that ecosystem, then you want to go with an iPad. If you are a person that has your content through like Google Play, I think will let you download on Windows. I'm trying to think of who else. There's not a lot that will let you download on Windows. So then the Surface becomes, really, if you're someone who torrents a lot of stuff, then the Surface is much easier because iPads are a pain in the ass to move stuff to, right? To like just ad hoc move things over to the iPad for you to watch because Apple has it like in its weird little own operating system that they don't want you to have access to the file system. Whereas the Surface Pro is actually a laptop. You could just copy things over to it or carry them on a SD card or on a flash drive or whatever. So that would be my suggestion to the two. Adam, you just switched.
Yes.
Suddenly your camera shot just switched on me. Are you trying to find a filter?
No.
You don't give a shit about RT Cruiser's question. You just you're just gonna let me
battle.
I do,
but you were doing such a lovely job answering.
Right. All right. So Parker wants to know why I keep saying pinned to rather than saved on. And that's because that's Android terminology on an Android device. When you there's a little pin that when you hit, it downloads it onto your phone or your tablet, which just means it's on the device. So I'm just using their terminology. Download to is the exact same thing. I hope that answers your question. Really, it just depends on where you have your money, right? Where have you spent the majority of your time and your money? If you're an Apple person, then you want to go with a tablet, with an iPad.
I will say one thing. Two things. First of all, I've heard that the Surface Pro is a fantastic machine, and everyone that has one loves them.
Well, the Surface Pro 3, because the Surface Pro 4 hasn't even come out yet, so we don't know about that one. I mean, we've seen that's the new one with the weird hinge that has the detachable keyboard. Just been announced. So that's not even released yet until the end of October. So we're talking about the Surface Pro 3 for purposes of this conversation. We're talking about the 3.
But I would say if it's only for an entertainment machine,
yes,
that I think it's a little bit of an overkill to get a Surface Pro because they're even more expensive than an iPad.
It is. And so, I agree with you, but see, I don't know what kind of, like, I hear this complaint all the time from...
I would get like an iPad mini or something. Well, I mean, it depends on what you want to spend. But if you are really only watching movies, then an Android tablet or an iPad, either one,
but then you come down
cheaper.
To, yeah, but you come down to that content stuff, right? It's like, I don't know. I know that I hear Australians complain all the time that, well, we don't have it here, right? It's like when we talk about, oh yeah, Amazon Prime has a new, the new season of this show, or it has a new movie or whatever. Oh, we don't have it over here. When are you going to get in Australia? It's like, and same with Google Play. I think there's just the copyright stuff is really weird overseas where they don't have a lot of the stuff that we do content wise. Cause that's always like, you know, all of the music services like Spotify and stuff like that. Well, when are we going to get in Australia? And it's like, I have the world's worst Australian accent, by the way, just so you know. There you go. Anyway,
oh,
so
I couldn't tell that just by listening to
up.
You.
Thank you very much. RT Cruiser. We do pretty, hopefully that helps you out. Let's get to our next question. This one comes in from Toppy Smelly.
Hey, it's Toppy Smelly. You want to know what just happened? I didn't dial one first, and I got someone named Josh Binger.
Oh.
I didn't want to talk to him at all.
Oh, okay.
No, but seriously, I got a question for your tech segment.
Yes.
That's the tech segment. Hey.
Hey.
After you play the song. No, anyways, got a serious question.
This
Let's
isn't
just
big
say
fan.
That you have a computer set up. You've got a USB mic. You've got USB up the wazoo,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you want to, maybe you're doing a podcast, and like maybe you want to get on Pride 48
yes.
and like do a live show.
Hey, look at you.
You don't yeah. have a mixer
no, you
because
don't have a mixer.
You've got USB shit. And all I want to know is there some fucking way to do, I shouldn't swear, because I know you guys don't on this precious show you have.
Right, no.
But anyways, let's just say you want to get on Pride 48 Live, but how do you do it? I mean, without a mixer. Is there such a thing? Here's my real question.
Here's
a
question.
Is there such a thing as a live computer mixer?
Mm-hmm.
Like on your computer. You can have it on your computer and it does everything, but it's like not really physically on your desk.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you can figure out what I just said, you guys are pretty good. All right, I'll be listening, I hope. If I don't fall asleep first. All
okay.
right, bye.
All right. So a couple of different things there. Yes, there is software. I don't know all of the software that there is because obviously Adam and I use hardware mixers, so we are not in that category of having to use. The chat room correctly points out that if you're on the Mac, you can use Audio Hijack Pro and Soundflower to do these things, which is kind of built in there. Mags in the chat room is saying that Sam Broadcaster has a mixer that you can use. I know that like also Nicecast on Mac has a software mixer in here. What you typically run into with software mixers, because it's not being done in hardware, is that there then becomes a lag or a delay, which then becomes this really kind of weird thing where you talk, and then if you're listening through your headphones, if that's important to you to hear yourself through your headphones, you're going to hear yourself delayed by a fraction of a second, which is off-putting to some people. Some other people just learn to live with that, or they just basically learn how to. It's kind of like organ players in church. They just kind of learn to ignore the lag and just concentrate on what they're doing. There is that because you're going through a computer piece of software that then has to interpolate what you're doing and then turn around and do it. If it's not important at all for you to have someone coming in over Skype or something, if this is just a solo show where you want to do something and then also play sound effects, I know that there are certain creative Sound Blaster cards that have the ability to, one of the options for a sound card choice is what you hear, which means that anything that comes out over the sound card, it will play. But I don't know how that would work with the USB mic. You would almost have to route the USB mic somehow through the speakers of that sound card, which should be doable, but I don't necessarily know. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not the best person. Yeah, I've not run into this, so I don't know. I know there's got to be something like that, and you could probably find a... if you've tried posting in the Pride 48 group on Facebook, because there's a lot of different people that use a lot of different kinds of equipment to do podcasting in that group. That might know.
I will say I've never found anything because the problem with Windows is Windows doesn't have a way inbuilt to point one input to another one, basically, internally. So you can't say, I want this input to go over here as opposed to this one going somewhere else. So I've seen some things that you can do that, but none of them worked very well. Now, I don't know about, so I've never found any software, so I'll have to look. I'm not sure about the Sam Broadcaster. I've done a lot of Google searches for things like that, and I've never found anything for Windows.
Yeah.
Now,
it's almost like what you really kind of want is there used to be a virtual patch panel kind of thing that you could do, where you'd say,
I even tried using that, and I couldn't get it to work, but that might have been something I was doing incorrectly, but yes. There used to be something called virtual audio cables, and you could do that. The problem, but again, the problem is going to be the software that you are using to broadcast will only take one signal. And even if you found a software that would send your internal audio effects to Edcast or whatever you're using, how would your mic get there?
Right.
Because you have two different, there's nothing that's integrating those two signals into one.
Well, no, because your mic is an input. So it's like you could on your output mixer for your sound card say that I want to play this channel, which would be your USB mic, right? Because any input device is going to show up on your output mixer. Does that make any sense? When I plug in a USB mic, it is an input to my system. So now when I open my Sound Blaster mixer for the output, that shows up as a channel. Just like Google Hangout shows out as a channel, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, so I actually have a separate volume tab for the USB input that I could then... So then if I was taking the output of the sound card, then I could absolutely do it. I've also seen it where someone would take like an 1/8-inch stereo cable and just loop it like from the output of the sound card to the input of the sound card, and then basically use the input of the sound card as the thing that they broadcast from.
I think that's going to be prone to having hums and noise.
Possibly. I put a link in the chat room to the virtual audio cables. If you're listening at home on the podcast and are curious about this, you can just Google for virtual audio cables. It's a open source project, so it's a lot of technical stuff. It's not, you know, it's not for the meek. it's not a, you know what I'm saying? You really have to read through it and understand what you're reading before you try it. But they also mentioned the Sound Blaster, what you hear, thing like that. So there you go, Toppy Smelly. The other thing that I just want to point out, I know you don't want to hear this, but the other thing I might want to point out is a mixer and a microphone, like an XLR microphone and a small like two-channel mixer and everything, you can do for well under $100. You can do for around $65 or $70. You can actually have a mixer and a microphone that then you can put any number of things onto that mixer that that make those.
It's much
things.
Easier with a mixer.
It is. Life is much easier.
Really.
Anyway, there you go. Thank you both for sending in your questions for the tech segment. Oh!
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade
it. Very loud.
It, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, get it, paste it, save it, load it, check it,
quick, rewrite
it,
burn
it,
play
it,
burn it. The news.
So I know we're out of the tech segment, but there was one more question.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear the way. Wait, there was another tech.
No,
wait.
In the chat room.
Oh, which is what?
There's a question. It says, can you use a USB wireless mic with a mixer? And I don't, you wireless? I'm just going to say a USB mic. I've never heard of a USB wireless mic.
That's well, I mean, you're anyway. Still going to have USB dongle. It's just the mic itself is wireless. It doesn't matter whether there's a cord between the USB dongle and the mic. That's irrelevant. That would still work with the thing you're going to talk about.
I mistakenly, because, what's his name?
Kurt Cobain?
No. Why? My brain forgets names sometimes, and now he probably listens to the show, so I should probably just move on.
He's dead. Yes,
he
who?
He does a show. He comes to Pride 48 every year.
He does a show.
He's friends with TJ.
Yes.
Christian.
Christian Messer from Pleased to Meet You.
He posted a comment on Facebook. He wanted to know if he could take his USB microphone and hook it into a mixer because he was buying a mixer So I don't think there is a way to hook a USB microphone into a mixer. There are adapters that will take a regular microphone, an XLR microphone, and convert that signal to a USB signal.
But it costs more than an XLR mic. So,
well, yeah. But I do not think there's an adapter that will go the other way. So basically take a USB, because the USB signal from that microphone is already digital, and then you would need something to convert it back to analog.
Oh, no, they have them. They have batteries in them, too. It's like, but they're a big tubular thing that you plug the USB thing in into an XLR on the other side. But they cost a lot of money. So,
The tubular thing that you're talking about that I saw, like the Icicle, it goes the other direction. It takes an XLR mic and turns it into USB.
They have them the other way. I mean, but they're expensive. That's what I'm saying. They're expensive. They're like $120. It's like you could buy a really nice XLR mic for that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Someone in the chat room said that you were ignoring the question, and then I looked back up, and they said, what about Mix Minus? How much is that? Ha ha ha. Mix Minus doesn't cost anything. Mix Minus is something that happens.
I ignore things if they're ignorant sounding.
Oh my God, you just called our listeners ignorant.
No, it's when someone's trying to be stupid. And
do I have to play the news story again?
No, you don't.
By the way, I need some honest feedback from folks on this. I want to change the order of our segments.
Why don't you just do it?
Because I don't know. I just feel like, am I wrong in this? I kind of want to change our...
No.
All right.
Well, I mean, I don't care what order we do them in. We just randomly picked an order.
Let's listen to this real quick. We don't even know where we are now. We don't know what segment we're in. We have no idea. We're just like completely on a different, we don't have rules. What rules? Fuck the rules. We don't know.
Yeah, hi guys. AT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone again. Hot off the Googles this one. Pat Waddell, actress famous for starring in 3 seasons of Petticoat Junction, dead at 71. Bye.
Here comes Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the junction. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I meant to hit that one. Congratulations, Jess. We'll take it.
Yeah, congratulations. All right, last. Now, you know, RT Cruiser, you can't win 2 years in a row. I don't know. I'm just making that up. Last month, Corey Jones, a top editor at Playboy, went to see its founder, Hugh Hefner, at the Playboy Mansion. In a wood panel dining room with Picasso and de Kooning prints on the walls, Mr. Jones nervously presented a radical suggestion. The magazine, a leader of the revolution that helped take sex in America from furtive to ubiquitous, should stop publishing images of naked women. Mr. Hefner, who's now 89 years old, but still listed as editor-in-chief, agreed. As part of a redesign that will be unveiled next March, the print edition of Playboy will still feature women in provocative poses, but they will no longer be fully nude. Its executives admit that Playboy has been overtaken by the changes it pioneered. Quote, the battle has been fought and won, said Scott Flanders, the company's chief executive. You're now one click away from every sex act imaginable for free.
It is true.
And so it's just passé at this juncture.
It is true.
For a generation of American men, reading Playboy was a cultural rite, an illicit thrill consumed by flashlight. Now every teenage boy has an internet-connected phone instead. Pornographic magazines, even those as storied as Playboy...
Are you going to read the entire article? Can we just
have lost their shock value?
This here?
Anyway, no, I was going to stop after that paragraph. Thank you very much.
Jesus, you're just keep going on and on. He's like, no, so Playboy does no longer have nudes, which is not in and of itself. It's like, this to me is like, this is like their marketing move to try to get people, oh, Playboy, what the fuck? Oh, yeah, I read it for the articles kind of a thing. What happened?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, isn't this kind of the death march of Playboy and most magazines?
Yeah. I was going to say, just replace the word Playboy with magazines, right? It's like, what the fuck? Who cares? That is so weird. I almost pissed myself again.
What?
The lighting in the studio hits the side of my headphones right here. You see where my finger is pointing, right on my temple?
Yes, I can see that.
And as I'm moving my head, it looks like someone, when I have the window covered up, because I'm looking, it looks like someone's in my hallway. Now, I live alone, and this is twice now that I saw someone was walking down my hallway behind me. I literally pissed my pants. It was just like, it was so scary. Don't ever listen to Vera Charles's like spooky like fuck stuff, because it's like, now I'm just like, no, I shouldn't live. I need to go buy a dog or something. I'm very jumpy here. Jesus Christ.
I'm like, what does pissing yourself have to do with
back to the magazine? Back to the magazine thing. I know. Magazines are irrelevant, right? Hello, there's the internet, right? I think the entire whole thing about magazines is like, I think the person that did it, or the people that have done it best, is like Entertainment Weekly. If you look at Entertainment Weekly, their digital edition is amazing. It's like their tablet edition, or their, you know, your phone edition of Entertainment Weekly is absolutely amazing. If you liked reading Entertainment Weekly, subscribe to their digital thing just for a month. It's like $3. Just subscribe to it for a month and check it out, because it's got all kind of interactive stuff, and it's not like just here's the web pages of our static magazine. It's like they've made the entire magazine, you know, like here's the audio clip of what we're talking about, here's the video clip of what we're talking about. It's like it's and you know, here you can drill down deeper and see that. It's like their digital copy is what it should be, right? It's basically like, here, let's take really good reporting. Granted, it's of the entertainment nature, but it's like, here's entertainment reporting, but we've you know, stepped it up and made it into this nice little package. It's really good to look at. But it's like, yeah, as far as magazines go, it's like, do you read magazines?
No.
I don't read magazines. My last holdout on magazines was like tech magazines, you know, like MSDN magazine and stuff, where they had really dense technical articles that you would want to read on the toilet or whatever. But it's like nowadays, it's like I'm so used to reading stuff on the phone. I read it on the phone. It's like or on the tablet or whatever. It's like, yeah, I think the print media at all, you know, print media in and of itself is a dying, art or whatever. We don't need it anymore.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So no more nudes in Playboy. And,
however, literally, pornmd.com, you can find anything you fucking want to find, right? It's like free and it's right there. You can stream it to your phone, for God's sake. Go to Pornhub. You can find it on your phone. I think Pornhub just released their numbers this past week or 1 or 2 weeks ago. That it's like over 60% of their traffic is mobile now. It's like, so Pornhub is basically, you know, people looking on their phones, right? So anyway.
A man lived undetected in the attic of a Virginia church for 3 years, according to Arlington County Police. William Barker would attend Mass at St. Anne's Catholic Church, and after people left, he would climb a ladder into the attic where he slept, police said.
Yes.
Quote, he would wait until the evening hours when there was less staff around, pop a ceiling tile, use a ladder, crawl up to his own space in the attic, pull the ladder up there, and occupy it until the next morning, said Dustin Sternbeck of Arlington Police. The man kept a makeshift bed, clothing, and other items hanging from the rafters, according to police.
There you go.
Police only discovered Barker's living area when an air conditioning repairman heard something in the attic.
Oh, the damn air conditioning repairman. They'll get you every time.
It was quite sad, the church's pastor said.
Oh.
I was there the whole time when the police were called in, and when he came down, I was waiting to see his face, and there was a deep sadness that I felt there.
What was the sadness? Dude had a great place to live for 3 years. If he was sad, it's because he's going to have to like go live somewhere else.
Anyway, they arrested him and charged him with trespassing.
Whatever. Here's the thing. As a kid, I went to church all the time, right? It's like, because in the summer in a small southern town, there's no fucking other place for you to do, right? You have to go do vacation Bible school and you kind of hang around the church all day because that's, you know, whatever, that's what you do. I grew up in this town. So like the big, huge churches in town were the Methodist Church, which is what we remember of, and the Baptist Church. And there were these huge buildings, these huge four-story buildings, you know, with endless rows of classrooms, you know, and the huge sanctuary and stuff like that. I mean, places where you could be there pretty much all day long playing on a piano in some classroom, right, on the third floor and not see another human being all day long. I mean, it's just like, that's, you know, how big and vacant these things were. And I used to always fantasize about that. It's like when, like, I would like to live here. I mean, it's like, this would be an amazing house. Just like, you know, four stories, room after room after room, all these pianos and it's like, you know, cool things and whatnot. It's like, I kind of feel, you know, like this dude got this cool thing, right? He got this cool thing where he could like live in this big, huge building or whatever. I still to this day, I feel like I would buy an old church and make it my house.
I've seen episodes, some HGTV show where they had strange houses or, you know, people living in buildings that were not originally meant to be houses. Like one person bought a whole downtown department store,
like an old town, a small town, I would buy a Episcopalian church or something like that. One where they had Jesus, like, you know, that life-size Jesus on the cross. Because, you know, a little bit of modification, you put a dildo in there, whatever, you basically have like a sex doll right there that you could, you know.
That is horrible.
How is that horrible? It's a life-size mannequin that is already in the prone position. You just have to take them off the wall and put it on the ground. But, you know, it'd be great. It'd be great to get that as, you know, it's like a free housewarming present.
I feel like I'm going to have lightning come down and strike me right now. Right now. Moving right along.
Can I just say this? When I used to, like, all right, so I used to hang out at this church. I shouldn't say this. This will just upset you. I won't say it. You know what? This is more of something that I should say on someone else's show. Because I feel like I should never say this to you or Nicole, because you would just, your head would explode and you'd get really angry with me.
It might. I don't know, because I don't know what you're gonna say. So
I was running around these churches like as a teenager, like, you know, 16, 15, 16, 17, hormones raging, whatever. Let me say, I masturbated in a lot of those classrooms over the summer. It's just
wouldn't, because I've done that before.
Yeah, trying to hit all of them. I'm just saying, I couldn't have been the only one.
Maybe not.
Are we done with the news?
I told you, yes.
Oh, we're done with it. I didn't know that. I was sitting here, I'm trying to vamp and
Talk about my masturbatory habits. I don't know. I need Dora. Can't find her. Where's Dora? There she is. Let's do this.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
The DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue from someone's birthday, and I, using only my head, brain, and word mouse, will figure out whose birthday it is and tell him without cheating and looking in the chat room, unless I get stuck, in which case I will totally cheat.
I think you need to amend that.
Yes, to what?
And say your head, brain, mouth, words, and the chat room. You will figure out.
Well, the chat room is my head brain. That's my head brain. My head brain has now gone too big for my head. It now encompasses all of the internet. It is like my internet brain.
It is so hot in my studio.
You're right. I did. You know, you should switch over to LED lighting because it does not put any heat out whatsoever. I'm so sorry. Did I say word mouse? I meant to say mouth words.
Your word mouse?
My word. It is. It's my word mouse. It's, yeah.
All right. So are we ready? Are we ready?
I am ready, Adam. I am waiting for you.
What is that?
That is Norm walking into the bar and cheers. Is it, what's his name that plays Norm? Is that what it is?
Hold on.
You're getting very quiet.
Well, let's go ahead.
Is it George Wendt?
Because, yes, it is. George Wendt.
Excellent. Look at that. From a microsecond of hearing Norm.
That was not supposed to play yet. That's not the one that we were going to start with. But okay. I had that.
Cheers.
You know, that's what I was going to play. But George
Wendt. Making way in the world today. I don't know the words.
He is, where is he? He's 67 years old.
67 years old.
All right. Here is our next one that I'm going to play on purpose.
Okay.
Because those words could be your last. Let's talk about that.
Oh, my God. This is Rhett and Link, so it's got to be one of them. This is their intro to Good Mythical Morning.
Good Mythical Morning.
It's the one that was just talking.
That was Rhett.
That was not Rhett.
Oh, that was Link.
Oh, it was Rhett. Sorry. It was Rhett. I'm wrong. was Rhett. So was Rhett McLaughlin,
yes.
McLaughlin is 38 years old. Someone finally who's older than me.
There you go. One of the top five YouTube earners of 2015.
Did that not make you sick?
No, because have you watched their show? They do a really well-produced 20-minute show every day called, you know, Good Mythical Morning with research and, like, production value and really good sound quality.
No, not them. You know, not them necessarily, but, like, the number one earning person.
It's PewDiePie.
On YouTube is PewDiePie. He sits there and plays games all day.
Have you ever
long,
watched PewDiePie?
I don't care how funny the guy is. He deserve $12 million
Why?
A year.
Why doesn't he? That's like saying, you know what? Do you know some of the salaries of some of the sports ball players that we see, you know, that play football and stuff like that? I'm just saying. PewDiePie is actually very entertaining to watch. He's very funny.
Good for him. Anyway,
he has a lot of people to watch him, and he deserves what he. I mean,
I think he makes $12 million because he's attractive.
Here's the thing: Dane Cook makes a lot of money, and I don't think he's funny or at all. And yet he makes. It's like you can't just because PewDiePie isn't your cup of tea.
Oh, let me tell you something. So today I found this, but I found this girl on YouTube who does makeup tutorials.
Oh my God.
And she has this really cool segment where she reproduces historical looks.
God, if you say Michelle Fong, I'm going to slap you.
No,
so
it's
hard.
Not Michelle Fong.
Okay, I was going to say, how do you not know Michelle Fong?
No, it was someone else.
That's like not knowing who Todd Rickall is. It's unacceptable.
She does a really good job, and she does what I saw. I'm a guy. I don't wear makeup, but I was sitting there watching this for at least 45 minutes, her doing different looks like an Egyptian. She did an Egyptian woman. Anyway, all kinds of stuff. And she gives you all this history behind what they used for makeup in those periods and, like, you know, kind of why they went for the different looks they did. Mm-hmm. It was really entertaining, actually. And I don't even wear makeup.
Is it mask shower or mask shadows combo?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yeah, and they were really entertaining. Like, she gets right up in the camera and puts on her makeup and explains every step of what she's doing, what shade she's using.
As most tutorials do. Actually, if you really want to have an appreciation of drag queens, watch some of... Now, I was not a huge fan of Miss Fame, but watch some of her makeup tutorials. It's like she spends probably 2 or 3 hours putting on her makeup and, you know, walks you through all that stuff. Or watch some of James St. James' videos where he actually has different drag queens come and, like, make him over in their style.
Anyway, so there you go. All right, so happy birthday, Rhett. Here is our next one.
Used to be sad. Used to be shy.
Is this Rhoda?
It's not Rhoda. No.
Just give me a break.
It's not giving me.
No, there's
me a break
new.
Be,
hold on.
Break.
I'm feeling good.
All right. Is this? It's not Alice. Is it?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, answer. Is it Alice?
It is Alice.
All right. So if it's Alice, then it's Linda Lavner.
Well. Almost. It's Linda Lavin.
Oh, Linda Lavin. Lavner. Okay, Linda Lavin.
Lavin. Right, yes, it's Linda Lavin.
Excellent.
I don't know if you were looking at the chat room.
Oh, I did not. I did not. I was making eye contact with you because it's like one of those. I know this song.
They got it way before you did.
Yeah, Joe Batanz did. But, okay. But Joe Batanz doesn't know who Todrick Hall is, so he's dead to me.
All right, here's the next one.
This is the theme to Murder, She Wrote.
Yes, it is.
Starring Auntie Vera Charles.
Well,
he was on an episode of Murder, She Wrote. Anyway, so yes, this is so I'm going to go with the title character, Angela Lansbury.
It is Angela Lansbury. Angela Lansbury is 90 years old.
Oh my God, she is 90 years old. See, Auntie Vera in the chat room says it isn't my birthday today.
Yeah. Angela Lansbury is 90 years old, and we had a didn't we have like a whole after show about Angela, or like 15
yes,
minutes of commentary about Angela Lansbury? Anyway,
we did.
All right, here we go. Here I have a couple for this one, so there you go.
This is Oh, I used to watch this show. It's
I did too. Yeah,
something is like a place.
It is. Yes, it is a place. Well, kind of. I don't think the name of the show is a place, but
yes. Oh shit! I looked. Northern Exposure. Okay, so it's Northern Exposure.
It is Northern Exposure.
Sicily,
okay.
Sicily, Alaska. The mythical town of Sicily, Alaska.
You know what? My favorite character in Northern Exposure was that nurse. The Eskimo lady.
Oh, the Eskimo. Yeah, she wasn't a nurse. She was a receptionist. But yes,
receptionist.
Yes.
My favorite. I don't know why. I don't think she's been in anything else, probably, but she was my favorite character anyway. All right, here is another show.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me.
I have no idea.
Well, you might not know this one. So if I tell you what the show is, this is a CW show called One Tree Hill.
So you never watched that one, yeah.
All right. So then I have one
apparently,
more.
Apparently
one more
no
clip.
One in the chat room had either.
Here's the last clip.
This is
Texas Film Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is the...
I'm prouder of this, and I've been...
it's the guy that played the astronaut in Northern Exposure, Maurice.
I can't think of his name, though, but
it's him, right?
Deserve it, probably, but,
I think he's the one that says diabetes. So
yeah, right. Yeah, but he played Maurice, the astronaut, the former astronaut in Northern Exposure.
Told you partly the truth.
I don't remember exactly what the character's name was.
What's his name? I'll Google it.
backstage.
Oh, you want me to tell you who he is?
Yeah. I'll never get his name.
It's Barry. Oh, no. No, it isn't the same guy who's on the diabetes commercial. It's no. Barry Corbin.
And I went.
Barry Corbin. Let's see.
It's Barry Corbin.
Yep.
Their voices are very similar. Well,
no,
Wilford
they don't. So
Brimley
Barry Corbin, yes, he played Maurice Minifield, the ex-NASA astronaut on Northern Exposure.
Well, there you happy. Oh, so Barry Corbin, he was also in, and I've used him before for a birthday, and the time before I used the theme song to The Closer because he played the woman's dad,
right,
in The Closer. Anyway,
he was a character actor for many years. He's been in a lot of things.
All right.
Just sit right. Oh, this is the Brady Bunch. This is oh wait, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me. It's all right. Give me a hint.
All right, it's so this is one of them that really didn't have much of a career after.
That would be like all of them. That could have been. Well, that could have been Alan. That could have been Alan Hale. That could have been Tina.
Okay.
Marie.
It's a female.
Tina Marie.
Who had a cookbook?
Dawn Wells.
Yes.
Dawn. Because I was going to say Lovey Dawn had. Wells. Lovey had no. I can't even think of her name. But Lovey had no career after that either. But you say so. Dawn Wells. All right.
Yeah. Dawn Wells. Marianne.
All right.
Is 77 years old.
You remember the first two seasons of Gilligan's Island, Marianne wasn't even named in the opening song. She was just like the professor, like, because they added the professor and Marianne on the third season. Because the first two seasons, it was just like, and the rest. And the only two left, the only two left were the professor and Marianne, but they were just, and the rest.
You know, surprisingly, though, she's 77. And if you look up recent photos of her, I mean, she looks old, but mm-hmm. she looks very similar. She's good looking for 70. I'm going to say she's pretty good looking for 77. She has held up well, at least I think. Now, if you look at Lisa, whatever her name is, Tina Marie or whatever.
She's dead. Tina Marie is dead.
Not Tina Marie. The original, I looked this up. The original, what's her name? Ginger.
Ginger, yes.
Was not Tina Marie. It was, who played Ginger? Tina Louise.
Tina Louise, there you go.
And Tina Louise is alive. But if you look at her now, woo, she has age. But if you look at Marianne, she's aged, but she looks better than Tina Louise.
Yeah, it depends on whether she's smiling. She's clearly had some mouth work done because when she's got a smile, she looks crazy. But when she's not smiling, she doesn't look that bad.
No, I think she looks much better than Tina Louise. But anyway.
No, I'm talking about Tina Louise. Tina Louise does not look that bad when she's not, like, when she's doing the crazy smile, it's like it stretches her face in a weird way.
Maybe.
She's in her 70s. She looks great for being in her 70s.
I mean, compare that to a photo of Dawn Wells recently, though. I think she looks better.
All right, fine. Let's move on.
That's all I'm going to say.
Move on.
Anyway, she is 77, and we have one last birthday. And this is kind of an ensemble cast, but I'm hoping you'll get it. So we'll just say that.
Challenge accepted. Ah, this is the unmistakable opening credits to Teen Wolf.
I can guarantee any teeny bopper with hot twinks on it, you're going to automatically know the
Teen Wolf, as has been alluded to on this show, is like a Corbin Fisher video without the money shot. It's like, they're all hot. Yes.
It is Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it is an ensemble show. So is it a guy or a girl?
It's a guy.
It's a guy. So it could be Tyler Posey, or it could be Maze Runner guy. Plays Styles on the show. Tyler?
It's not Maze Runner guy.
Is it Tyler Posey?
It is Tyler Posey.
Tyler Posey.
Look at you, knowing the names of the actor and all.
Excellent.
And those are your famous people birthdays. So do we have any other birthdays?
We do, but I'm going to mark this time because I have to pee really badly. So, all right. So I'm going to mark this time 1-4-1. All right.
Okay. How many times has he done this recently? Like, I think we need to get Daniel a catheter or what is that thing? Something that he can just, or one of those things that you take on a long trip where you just, put it on your, it's like a cup that you put on your area, and then you anyway, so I think so. What did you guys Google Tina Louise and Dawn Wells and determine who you think is the better looking of the two now? I really think Dawn Wells looks better now than Tina Louise. And maybe that's just because her beauty was more natural looking to begin with. I don't know. I mean, but I feel like Tina Louise just looks. And also, Tina Louise was one of those, you know, oh, this show ruined me. This show ruined me, my career, you know. I won't, you know, I can't go to any of the Gilligan's Island movies. I won't go to any of the reunions because this show ruined my acting career, you know, or whatever.
What are we talking about?
And I was saying Tina Louise was always kind of, you know, she was the one that never would go back for the reunion shows. And she said that it ruined her career. Why did I get it in my head that Tina Louise was killed by that Helter Skelter guy?
Don't know. All right. 143:30. All right. Yes, Adam, we do have birthdays on Pride 48. We would like to say a very happy birthday this week to RC from Wisconsin. Say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Katie List. I don't know who Katie List is, but happy birthday to you nonetheless on the 16th. On the 18th, which is today, by the way, Danny 2T and Angela to be packed. So happy birthday to all of you. If you would like to have your birthday listed on Pride 48 website, make sure you go over to pride48.com, sign up for an account, and click on the little checkbox that says, yes, I would like to have my birthday publicized. Excellent. By the way, Dylan O'Brien was the name I couldn't think of. Dylan O'Brien plays Stiles Stilinski on Teen Wolf.
There you go. You know what? That is so funny that his name is Dylan because he looks... Oh, no, he doesn't. Never mind.
You're still looking at Tyler Posey.
My nephew's name is not Dylan. I don't even
the
know
other, here's the, here's the other. Here's the other really weird Teen Wolf tie-in here. On your test show that you did, the unnamed test show that you did with Joe Batanz and Shannon, the news story that you guys were reading had a person named... hold on. His name was Clayton Hames was the name of the guy in your news story.
Yes.
And Joe Batanz, if you listen back to the test show, kept saying Colton Haynes, who used to be on Teen Wolf. So it's like, who is now on Arrow. But I just found it funny that he kept saying Colton Haynes when the guy's name was Clayton Hames. So anyway, it doesn't really matter. All right. Here we are in the old contact segment. And we have quite a few voicemails, don't we? Let's get to our very first one. Comes in from someone overseas.
Guys, it's RT Cruiser here calling from the streets of, where am I? Sydney.
Right.
I've just got something to add to the new investments and finance segment of your little show. So I don't want to spoil the ending of that book or the next book, Adam, but Robert Kawasaki is eventually going to say, there's nothing wrong with debt. That's how you buy properties. You get a bank loan. I know it's pretty technical rocket science and no one's ever heard of this before, but you get a mortgage. Debt is good. The bank makes money. You make money. Everybody's healthy.
Excellent.
And happy and prosperous. So there we are. That's the ending of the story for you. The other thing I thought possibly I could point out is that some people, especially quite a lot of podcasters, might argue that someone who's earning well over $100,000 a year,
yes,
and owns three luxury cars,
yes,
quite possibly already counts as being rich.
Yep.
And who has a partner who's probably also earning, okay, well, maybe not over $100,000 a year, but,
ooh,
you know. Okay, this is RT Cruiser, littleaussiebattler.net.
Mm-hmm. It's so mean, RT Cruiser, to assume that Mittens doesn't make as much as you.
He doesn't.
By the way, but even your combined incomes put you guys in the top 2.5% of income earners in Arkansas.
We do not meet. What is that noise?
You're echoing back somehow because I'm hearing it too. We do not meet. And then now you're like spasming out there in your chair. It's really kind of, it's like, are you being electrocuted? Just nod once if I need to call 911.
Sorry. I have a fan on one of my other computers that likes to go spastic every now and again. And I was as you were talking, I was wiping the dust off of that computer. And for some reason, me wiping spastic. The dust off of it
yeah.
made the fan like go crazy. So I had to turn it off. Anyway, so I don't know what I was saying. It totally...
We were talking about the fact that you're in the top 2.5 income earners in Arkansas. And you said, we do not count...
No, I don't meet the definition of rich.
Ah, I see.
At least by Robert Kiyosaki's
whatever. Yeah, he just told
definition.
You the end. Clearly, R.T. Cruiser has read these books and he's helping you out. So you don't need to buy the new books. Maybe you can just borrow them from him. Let's get to our next voice from a recording now. It comes in again from R.T. Cruiser, I believe.
Oh, hi, Daniel. It's R.T. Cruiser here from Brisbane. I'm in Sydney.
Yes.
Now, to get marijuana, just go to Amsterdam, which you're going to next year.
Yes.
And here's a tip from someone who's much younger than you, i.e. me.
Yes.
I think they don't call it pot anymore. Maybe try 420. Mm-hmm. That's what all the hip young kids are saying.
Right.
Okay, bye.
Great. I'll try that. Thank you very much, R.T. Cruiser. I do appreciate it. Nice tip there. Go to Amsterdam to try
yes.
pot. To try pot.
They also have canals there.
I thought that was Venice. Anyway,
and you can get I think you can get mushrooms too.
Get mushrooms there in things.
I mean, like the drug kind of mushrooms, not
right.
Not just like button mushrooms or crimini's or something like that.
Right. And finally, we have an email because there were no voicemails other than death phone calls in your download earlier, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm not missing anything here. All right, so great. We got this email that came in this week. I don't see everyone in the chat room is complaining about us going long. So now I feel like I don't want to read this email because they're already turning against me here. But here's the email. It comes in to us from Michael Fine, the Good Humor Penguin. Hello, Daniel and Adam. There is two things that really annoys me about your little show, and they are that crazy Whitney goat that you always love to play, Daniel. Have you noticed that I always leave the chat room whenever you play it? I also cannot stand that birthday song from Dora. My opinion about the birthday song from Dora is childish. It is for children to listen, not for the grown-ups.
Amen.
It is your show. Who really cares about my opinion? I'm going to agree with you, Michael Fine. I really don't care about your opinion. So here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say, and this is the reason that I wanted to include this email here, is this is basically a show that my friend Adam and I do together for one
we
reason.
We hate our listeners.
For one reason and one reason only, at least for me. I know exactly why I do a podcast, and it has to do with the fact that, you know, when I was 16 and 17 years old, a friend of the family who was, you know, a church youth group leader or whatever was a DJ in town that used to do wedding DJs, you know, he would DJ weddings and like, you know, any kind of formal events like that and stuff like that. And as he became overbooked, he knew that I really liked doing that and that I, you know, used to like hang around and help him do that stuff when I was a kid. And so he would basically let me do his overflow stuff because he had a whole second set of equipment so I could load it in my truck and go and I would do these things and everything. And from that point forward, I have always, you know, had microphones and mixers and stuff like that. And I, as a kid, used to actually like record fake radio shows on cassette that no one ever heard. No one ever heard. I mean, just things that I just goofed around and did on my own, right? Just like kind of like playing around. I dearly love doing this, and I do it for my own entertainment. I do it for my own amusement and my own entertainment. It really doesn't matter to me who listens or who doesn't listen. It's just something that I do. And if you hate things about it, you know, from my perspective, Adam and I are inviting you into our lives to come and hang out with us and do this thing. And if you don't like it, there's the fucking door. Go, leave. It doesn't really matter to me whether you stay or not. But to me, it's kind of like we've invited you over for a dinner party again and again and again. And you've come in for the dinner party and enjoyed the dinner and then had the fucking balls to walk up to us as the host and go, you know what? I don't know if you noticed or not, but I never walk through your living room because you have a Hummel figurine collection that really just annoys me. And I don't want to walk through your living room. Fade away. Goodbye. Goodbye. There's the front door. Leave. I don't really care. And I'm not saying this, you know, to like for shock value or whatever, but it's like I get so many stupid complaints for what is in essence a free show that we're not begging you to listen to. We're not requiring you to listen to. We're not forcing it down your throat. If you don't like it, then leave. That's fine. Just leave. I'm not offended if you leave. It doesn't hurt my feelings if you don't want to listen to it. But, you know, we've invited you into our lives. The least you could do is be polite and not piss on what it is that we do. And there you go. Thank you very much. That is my statement.
Well, so I just want to say a couple of things. I do this because I'm an attention whore a little bit. And so I do like to have attention, but I do also love, I've listened to talk radio forever. I've never, even though I'm a musician, it's really funny. I'm not much of a music listener. Like, I've always listened to talk radio just as long as I could remember listening to talk radio. So I love talking into a microphone and I love doing that. So I would do it regardless if anyone listened, but I do like attention too. But what I do want to say is, I don't want anyone to walk out the door. I have a little bit of different opinion than Daniel. However, here's what I want to say. And I don't think Good Humor Opinion, I don't think he was asking us to change anything about the show. I think he was just giving an opinion. However, what I will say is...
Then what was the point?
Well, what I'm going to say is that when you do a show, it can't be a democracy because every single listener that you have has a different opinion of what they like and what they don't like. And so what ends up happening if you try to do a show to appease the listeners is... everything go like you constantly keep changing things because there's always, you know, some people don't like the part when we talk about our lives. Some people love it. Some people don't like the technology segment and they fall asleep. Some people love technology and they want to hear and they want to learn more, you know, and it goes on and on and on. So you kind of have to just do the show that you want to do to the best of your ability and hope that you find people that enjoy it. So although I value your opinion, and I don't think you were asking us to change. The point is you can't do that, right? You have to do the show that you enjoy doing as a producer, right, and hope that people
also
like
I haven't played the Whitney Goat in months.
I know you haven't. It's been
a fucking months. I haven't played that. So whatever. Anyway, there you go. Thank you for all of you for the contact. We actually do appreciate it. Unless you don't like us, in which case just leave. You don't have to say anything. Just leave. That's fine. 3, 2, 1. So there you go.
Apparently, you know, when I was doing my hours of preparation this afternoon, I thought, man, there's not going to be much on this show today. But apparently, I'm sorry, I've been burping.
You've been burping.
Apparently, we did have a lot to talk about today.
I don't care.
Because,
I love it. I'm fine with this. I love it. I'm happy with it.
You know what you should say? All the people in the chat room that said it was going too long, there's the door right there. You know where it is.
You know what?
We do this for free.
We you know, I don't mean to like flap my gums and whatever, because you know when I flap my gums, it
sounds like meat vittles.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587, or send us an email. Be careful. Contact at dubiousintent.com.
At your own risk. It can be treacherous.
You know what? No, you don't have to listen to it. He's like, I will not like him any less for not listening to our show. That's fine.
But there's the fucking door right there.
No, but it's just, you don't say that to people. That's rude. I'm sorry, Adam.
Look, you crossed the line when you mentioned the goat.
No, I'm just saying. Don't tell me, oh, did you ever notice that I leave when you do that? No, I didn't notice that you left when I do that. I figured you had a life.
I think it's the Dora song. You get really offended over that Dora song.
It's not. It brings me happiness, Adam. It brings me happiness and joy.
I don't like Dora either, but I, you know.
Whatever. All right. Good night, chat.
Good night, David.